This is Northside Light. Johnny Holmes here, and I'm joined by June Tinsley. She's Head of Advocacy at Barnardo's, and she's going to be talking about the cost in 2018 to send a child back to school, and also the back to school allowance. A very good morning to you, June, and thanks very much for taking the time to be with us today.
That's great, no problem, Johnny.
First of all, June, I understand that Barnardo's have recently carried out a survey of back to school costs, and that's split into three different categories. One is for senior infants, the other for fourth class pupils, and finally first year secondary students. So tell us about the outcome of the survey.
Sure, this is a survey that we do year on year, and we put a call out to parents to tell us what they have to pay for in order to get their children ready to go back to school. And this is really just the absolute basics that a child needs. So you're talking about uniforms, footwear, school books, classroom resources, and a voluntary contribution if that's been asked by the school. And this year we found that the senior infant pupil, for the absolute basics I've mentioned, it's 360. For a fourth class pupil, it's gone up to 380. And for a first year pupil, it's up to €765. Which, as you can imagine, for a family, the more children you have in the school system, the more expensive it is. It's just a very costly time of year for families, particularly low-income families, and year on year it's such a stressor for them in order to try and get their children ready for our supposedly free education system.
Right, so with the back to school allowance being only €125, that's a very big gap to fill and must be extremely difficult for those on welfare or low incomes to deal with.
It is, and I suppose our survey shows that in terms of secondary school parents, about 21% of them admitted that they had to borrow money from families, friends, money lenders or credit unions in order to foot the bill. And for primary school parents, it was about 11% of parents had to go into debt in order to cover these costs. For the others, it was just trying to juggle household bills, making real choices whether they pay rent that month, how much food they could cut back on, do they cut back on days out with the kids, can they take up any more shifts in work in order to get more income. So it really is a time of stress for parents as they try to juggle household finances to meet these costs.
Right. And actually, how many parents contributed to the school costs survey?
This year we actually had the most ever. We had 2,201, and it was right across the board in terms of right across the country we had respondents, and also it was a mix of children who go to DASH schools and non-DASH schools.
Right. And what about the voluntary contributions? According to the survey, those costs have increased this year by 11% for primary pupils and 2% for the secondary level students. So how voluntary actually is this contribution, just for the sake of our listeners? Can parents who just don't have the money opt not to pay it, you know, without any consequences?
Well, that's exactly it. It's kind of described as a voluntary contribution, but often there can be pressure on parents to have to pay. And we found at primary level, 67% of parents are asked to pay, and you're talking about around €85 is that contribution. At secondary school level, 71% of parents have been asked to pay, and the amount is around €225. So it's a lot of money on top of all the other expenses you have. And I suppose it really shows to us that the education system is really underfunded, schools are totally operating on a shoestring budget, and unfortunately it's parents that have to make up the shortfall. And schools have to, in many cases reluctantly, have to ask parents to contribute, either through voluntary contributions or through constant fundraising like non-uniform days and bake sales and all those kind of things, purely because our education system continues to be underfunded and parents have to make up that shortfall.
Yes, and I suppose even though it's termed voluntary, there's also the embarrassment aspect of it, that they like to pay, I'd say, most of them, even though they can't afford it. They don't want to be, you know, down the bottom level. There's
yeah,
that as
and nobody
well.
Wants their child to suffer in the school system. We've heard of instances where parents have been receiving reminders to say, can you pay it in other areas. We've heard of cases where children have been denied a school locker or a classroom journal or those kind of things in order until the payment has been paid. So while the Department of Education will say it should be voluntary and there shouldn't be any pressure, unfortunately, in some cases, there is pressure. And as you say, parents also don't want to feel anyway embarrassed and want to make sure their child gets an equal footing when they get inside the school door. But it is a very pressurised time for parents.
It is indeed. And I suppose we can't blame the schools either because, you know, they're actually underfunded by the government.
Yeah.
Right. Has there been an increase in the cost of school books from last year?
Yes. Interestingly, we found that about half of the parents said in both primary and secondary that they noticed an increase in the cost of school books. And in primary level, on average, parents are spending about €95 for the cost of, to cover school books. And in secondary level, it's about €220. So, again, I suppose Bernardo's just believes that all school books should be free and provided by the school. Essentially, that everything that a child needs to meet the curriculum should be provided by the state. And that parents shouldn't have the burden of school book costs. Ireland is a total outlier in this, because up the north you have free school books. In England, in Scotland, in Wales, in Germany, in France, school books are provided. So why are we so different? And parents are continuously frustrated by the constant use of workbooks, which can't be recycled, and some new editions that are coming out, which means books can't be reused between siblings. So school books are a crucial part of this survey and clearly illustrate to us that at a basic level, the state should be providing school books.
Right. Are there no systems in place whereby, you know, school books can be bought and sold between the pupils themselves to save money? Like, for example, a fourth class pupil can sell her books to another coming up from third class, and on the other hand, she can buy books for her new fifth class from someone in fifth moving into sixth. I think, don't schools have meeting dates for this kind of thing to help reduce the burden?
You're right, but it's really genuinely hit and miss, Johnny, what school operates what system. And in some cases, the teacher might decide to change from using one type of geography book to another type of geography book, so the pupil can't do that transaction. There are school book rental schemes that operate. Some of them are really comprehensive and are a genuine saving for parents because it's all done on a bulk buy system and it covers textbooks, workbooks and stationeries. Other schools operate a school book rental scheme on a very limited scale by only restricting it just to textbooks or just to certain subjects or just from third class upwards. So it's very varied across the school system. And as a result, it just kind of, this lack of consistency frustrates parents because why does one fourth class pupil have access to a comprehensive school book rental scheme and another one down the road doesn't? And as a result, the parents have to pay varying prices for the children to complete the same curriculum.
Okay, I understand. And what about school uniforms? Would it not be true to say that some schools, not all schools, but some schools are perhaps far too rigid and this is pushing up the costs? Like, for example, take the school tracksuit. Surely, if all pupils and students are wearing the same colours, that's all that really matters, doesn't it? Why the need for a crest on a tracksuit?
Yeah, and again, that came out very clearly from the parents who took our survey, that overwhelming parents want uniforms. They think uniforms is a good thing because it ensures consistency across every child and there isn't that pressure to make sure they have the most branded items of runners or tops or whatever if it was a non-school that didn't have a uniform. But there's a clear call for more generic uniforms, so for these non-crested items. As you rightly say, some schools have been very progressive in this area and have reduced the number of items that require a crest on it and as a result reduce the cost. Some schools are operating second-hand uniform sales. Some schools have decided to switch to purely generic uniforms across the board and other schools less so. And I suppose, again, it's that frustration of from parents kind of thinking, surely there has to be more affordable alternatives than relying solely on a crested tracksuit or a crested jumper.
Yes, and well, surely those schools who feel so strong about the crest having to be on a tracksuit as well, then why can't they supply the school crests separately that can be sewn onto any tracksuit that, you know, parents can purchase in the likes of Penny's, Dunn's, Aldi or the cheap places? You know, it's an option which no one has ever come up with.
Well, interestingly, again, some schools do operate that system where you can buy a generic uniform and you can iron on or sew on the crest afterwards and that works fine, but other schools haven't. So it's just that variation means that for parents some parents, the cost can be really, really high. We found that the average cost of a secondary school uniform is €200. The average cost for a primary school is 110. So it's a lot of money. And there's just a strong call for more affordable alternatives to be rolled out consistently right across the school system.
Right. And just touching back onto the main root of the problem, in fact, which is funding, what would you or Barnardo's be recommending be done to reduce the burden on costs to send your child back to school?
We have, I suppose, our overall mantra really is the fact that Ireland claims to have a free education system when it's an absolute myth, when it's clear what are the costs involved and the pressure it puts on parents and the significant number of parents that end up having to go into debt in order to pay for our education system. So our call is that the government honour the constitutional right for free education and adequately invest in the school system to ensure that the parents don't have to make up the shortfall. We've done all the costings, the department have verified it, and even at a minimum in this year's budget, they could invest 20 million, and that 20 million would provide all primary school workbooks and textbooks for every pupil. It would ease a huge financial pressure on parents, it would create a level playing field, and it would ensure that we're on the road to in having a genuinely free education system. And I suppose we're calling on all listeners to rally behind us. And we've got an open letter to their TDs. If they're willing to sign it, they can do that on barnardos.ie/school costs. And let's hope that we can make education a political priority.
Right, OK. And just for those, especially for those on welfare and low incomes, do you feel that the back-to-school allowance needs a complete review?
Well, I certainly think that if the proposals that we're putting forward for a genuinely free education system were adopted, and it meant there was such a there wasn't this expectation on parents to have to fund everything, that low-income families would significantly benefit. I do think that the back-to-school clothing footwear allowance, as it presently stands, is too low to cover the cost of everything that a parent has to pay for. And I also think that the income guidelines and eligibility around it is so tight that there's many low-income families who are just outside the threshold and as a result don't get the support. So I think there needs to be a degree of flexibility around it more than there is at the minute.
Okay, June, thank you very much for joining us today. It was a pleasure having you, and I hope we can talk again soon on a different topic. So all the best to you. Take care and have a great day.
Thank you, Johnny. Take care. Bye-bye.
You're most welcome. All the best. Now, that was June Tinsley. She's head of advocacy at Barnardo's, and she was talking about the cost in 2018 to send your child back to school and the back-to-school allowance.